you know, I've been talking to some different folks, and they've been telling me how their life is a little hectic lately. Can anybody agree with that? We got an amen. Amen, brother. Life is crazy. But you know, we serve a God of order. We serve a God who has purpose for us. We serve a God who designed us with something in mind. You know, we're not this random, you know, I was thinking of a television show that was on several years ago called Third Rock from the Sun. And it's just this random rock just kind of hurled into the galaxy. And it just so happened that, you know, this third rock is just the right place at the right time, that we don't burn out, we don't freeze out, that it just so happened that our atmosphere has just the right amount of oxygen and the right amount of all those other little gases that we can breathe and not get choked out. But you see, our Lord created us with a purpose. He created us with, I want to say destiny in mind, but really he created us with himself in mind. I'm going to read to you in Romans chapter 5, just briefly. It says something about these tribulations that we go through. And not only that, Paul says, but we also glory in tribulations. Now, how many of you can go through a tribulation and go, yes, man, I got another ticket.
The Lord delivered me out the other side.
Right. I mean, didn't Moses celebrate and worship the Lord at the other side of the Red Sea? Imagine what the Lord could have done, would have done, if that was praise and thanksgiving and worship on the previous side. And Paul says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. God bless you. Or patience in some translations. And perseverance, character, and character hope. That word character in the new, the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, it's called proven character. It's been tried and found stable. And these tribulations that we go through, these stretchings, these different situations, maybe you feel like your plate is too small. Maybe you don't understand why Damien had a stroke. Maybe you don't understand why you can't get a mortgage on your house, or you can't sell your house, or you don't even have a house. Maybe we don't understand these things, but that's these tribulations really give us patience, which produces character, which produces hope. And that's something the world does not have, is hope. Christian, disciple, can I tell you that you have hope? Jesus Christ is your hope. And today we're going to be talking about how God orders our lives, God orders our days, God numbers us, God designed us for a purpose. I mean, before we start, again, I'm going to just jump into Ephesians. We all know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace we've been saved through faith. But verse 10 says that, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Before you were born, Trevor, God already designed something for you to do to glorify his name. He knew you'd go through trials because those trials would give you character, which would bring hope to the world. They look at you and say, man, if he can make it through it, I can make it through it. Before the world existed, he already had his good intention for each one of you. Friend, I know there are times when you just can't take another ounce, another day, another anything. You feel like you're going to break. I like what Chuck Smith says. He says, blessed are the flexible, for they will not be broken. And I want to encourage you guys to pause for a minute and allow the Lord to be the good physician, the good chiropractor, and reprioritize your life. Sometimes things get in the way. In youth group, we're going through the book of Revelations, and we're talking about the church of Ephesus who left their first love. They didn't lose their first love. They left their first love. And I was using the analogy of placing it down, talking and doing good works and revisiting and going a little bit further and then revisiting. And before I know it, I'm just working and I've left my first love. It's out of reach. And we get so busy at times, whether it's taking care of our family, whether it's working, whether it's time on the computer, whether it's time on the television. And God says, I want to realign you, Dave. Dave, I want to bring to light the things you need to do. Every time I go to the chiropractor and he realigns me, he says, drink lots of water. You know, we just broke some different things inside your blood system and you need to drink lots of water to get all that stuff out. And you know, the water of the word cleanses you. So as the Lord today realigns your life, drink lots of water. Allow the water of the word to flush out those things that need to come out and to cleanse you. See, today we're going to be looking at the duties and the responsibilities of the Levites, but yet it's the placement of the Levites which is important. Their duties corresponded with where they were placed. Now, last week we talked about the placement of the tribes of Israel. And God had each of the tribes kind of unify them in four big blocks. And I don't have that slide today, but it was in the form of a cross. And he had different tribes in different locations. And the center of the cross was what? Does anybody remember? The tabernacle was right in the middle. And we talked last week how in the middle of our dwelling, in the middle of our lives should be the Lord. He's the hub of our life. And now as we look at the placement where the Levites live, because they're separated unto the Lord, they're closest to the tabernacle. And we talked about those who minister to the tabernacle have closer access to the tabernacle. The priests have closer access. Can I encourage you guys that you are a priesthood, a royal priesthood, a chosen nation? Peter tells us that we are a priest unto the Lord. Dwell close to the Lord. The word says if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. And so I'm laying some foundation work of what Numbers is. It's about placement of the tribe of Levi. In that placement comes the duties, which is that alignment. What am I called to do? Have you ever been there? What is my calling? Have you ever been there? Well, what gifts do I have to offer? What has the Lord given me? Well, as we look at Numbers chapter 3 and 4, we're going to see the way the Lord operated through Levi. And I think we'll see glimpses of ourselves. So let's go ahead and turn to Numbers chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4 quickly. Now, these are the records of Aaron and Moses when the Lord spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron: Nadab, the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the anointed priests, whom he consecrated to minister as priest. Nadab and Abihu had died before the Lord when they offered profane fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. So Eleazar and Ithamar ministered as priests in the presence of Aaron, their father. The first thing I want to tell you is their first priority was to minister unto the Lord as priests. But ministry is a family affair. Guys, ministry is a family affair. Dads, spend time with your sons, with your daughters. Moms, breathe life into your kids. Whether it's for the church, bring them along. I try to have Dan help me with, well, Dan's working on the computer today. It's part of the ministry. We're going to make mistakes, but ministry is a family affair. And if I get that wrong right off the bat, the rest of my body will be out of alignment. The rest of my ministry will be out of alignment. Then in verses 5 through 6, we see something interesting here. We see that the tribe of Levi will be given unto Aaron. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may serve him. And they shall attend to his needs and the needs of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of meeting, to do the work of the tabernacle. Also they shall attend to all the furnishings of the tabernacle of meeting, and to the needs of the children of Israel, to do the work of the tabernacle. And you shall give the Levites to Aaron and his sons. They are given entirely to him from among the children of Israel. So you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall attend to their priesthood. But the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, now behold, I myself have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord. Give me a second. I want to mute this. Dan, would you hit the next slide? The Levites were given to Aaron to serve the priests. They weren't to serve as priests, because every priest is a Levite, but not every Levite is a priest. It says here that Aaron and his sons would serve the priesthood, but the stranger would be killed. The outsider would be put to death. They were to serve the priests. They were to serve the priests. The Levites became the firstborn of Israel. Back in Exodus 13, if you remember, the last plague was the death of the firstborn. Now, with the death of the firstborn, when that was finished, God told Moses that from now on, all the firstborn of Israel belonged to him, of both man and beast. Every male that opened the womb was going to be devoted and given unto him. He says in verse 2 of chapter 13, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. And then in verse 11, it says, and it shall be when the Lord brings you to the land of Canaan, as he swore to you and your fathers to give to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that opens the womb, that is every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey, you shall redeem it with a lamb. And if you do not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of men, of man among your sons, you shall redeem. So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? That you say to him, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And so we see that the firstborn is to serve as a memorial of God's strength and a sign for future generations. Why do you do the things you do? Well, let's talk about it, son. I want to tell you about the Lord. I want to tell you how he served in my life. You might remember when Joshua crossed the Jordan and they brought out 12 stones as a memorial to say, the Lord brought us over here. And so this serves as a memorial. It serves as a sign for future generations. And clean animals were to be sacrificed. If you had a lamb, when a male came out, it was given to the Lord. But of the unclean animals, they redeemed it. When men, they redeemed the firstborn men. We're going to see here that they redeemed it with 5 shekels of silver. And as we get into Numbers here, it doesn't tell us with the men what we do, but as we get in, as we finish Numbers here, it says that each redeemed firstborn is redeemed with 5 shekels of silver. So the Levites were given over as the next firstborn. So what he says is, instead of all the firstborns of Reuben, of Naphtali, of all the tribes, I just will take the tribe of Levi, and they will serve as the firstborn to be priests. Which is interesting, because that's go ahead, Daniel, hit the next slide. Although every priest is a Levite, not every Levite is a priest, Israel was supposed to serve as priests in the tabernacle. Not just Levi, but all of Israel. Think with me, or you can read it up there, Exodus 19. Now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Well, why was the Levites the ones then who were set apart? Well, it wasn't, but Exodus 32, Moses goes to the mountain and he's gone a little bit longer than they thought he should be. And so they said, Aaron, here's some gold. Make us a god. We want to worship. Aaron, make us a god. And this is what gets me. He does. A good man. And he does. I have mixed feelings about that. The first one is it saddens me that this man of God would fall and make an idol for a nation. 3,000 people died that day. But the other emotion is relief, because God knew that Aaron would blow it. Actually, as Moses was on the mountain, God was telling him what suit, how to make the breastplate for Aaron and how to make the cap for Aaron. And he knew exactly what Aaron was doing, and he forgave Aaron. It tells me that there'll be a time when we're going to blow it. Actually, I blow it every day. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet God, when we ask for forgiveness, will forgive us. Moses goes into camp. He sees all the dancing. He sees the golden calf. The word says he breaks it. He burns it. He puts the ashes in water and he makes everybody drink it. Sounds kind of weird. And then he said, Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered together with him. No other tribe stood up and said, you know what? We're wrong. This is wrong. No one stood for righteousness but Levi. And so Levi was honored to be priests. Well, here we are, back in Numbers. Levi is the priesthood, or Aaron is the priesthood. Levi is serving the priests. And then here we are in verses 14. We're going to see the divisions. Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, number the children of Levi by their fathers' houses, by their families. You shall number every male from a month old and above. So Moses numbered them according to the word of the Lord as he had was commanded. These are the sons of Levi by their name, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And these are the names of the sons of Gershon by their families, Libni and Shibni. And the sons of Kohath by their families, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. And the sons of Merari by their families, Mali, Mushi. These are the families of the Levites by their fathers' houses. From Gershon came the family of the Libnites and the family of the Shemites. These were the families of the Gershonites. Those who were numbered according to the number of all the males from a month old and above, of those who were numbered, there were 7,500. The families of the Gershonites were to camp behind the tabernacle westward. And the leaders of the father's household of the Gershonite was Eliasaph, the son of Lael. And the duties of the children of Gershon in the tabernacle of meeting included the tabernacle, the tent with its coverings, the screens for the door of the tabernacle of meeting, the screen for the door of the court, the hangings of the court which were around the tabernacle and the altar, and their cords according to all the work relating to them. Daniel, would you click to the next one, please? Now, what we have here is Gershon is behind it westward. Now, just for ease, I've got north straight up and south down. So, really, Gershon would be up at the top because the tabernacle always faced the east. But Gershon, the Lord, Eliasaph means the Lord gathers or increases. From 1 month old and up is 7,500. And his ministry was to carry the coverings. Note that. We're going to go back to what that duty really is. The next one is going to be Kohath, verse 29. The families of the children of Kohath were to camp on the south side of the tabernacle. And the leader of the father's house of the families of the Kohathites was Eliezer, the son of Uzziel. Their duties included the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, the utensils of the sanctuary which they ministered, the screen, and all the work relating to them. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, was to be chief over the leaders of the Levites, with oversight of those who kept charge of the sanctuary. Daniel, would you click the next one, please? And here we have the Kohath, Eliezer, God of treasure, of the men from 1 month and up was 8,600. And their duty was to carry the furniture and furnishings. While Gershon just carried the coverings, not just. Kohath, that tribe had to carry all of the implements. You remember there was the brass altar as you walked in. There was the laver. As you walked into the holy place, there was the lampstand, the golden altar of incense, and then the table of showbread. Then you had the veil, and in the Holy of Holies, you had the Ark of the Covenant, where the Lord was at. And so all of these pieces of furniture, these guys had to carry. Now we move to the next son, the tribe of Merari, verse 33. From Merari came the family of the Mahalites and the family of the Mushites. These were the families of Merari. And those who were numbered according to the number of all the males from 1 month old and above were 6,200. The leader of the father's house of the family of Merari was Zuriel, the son of Abihail. These were to camp on the north side of the tabernacle. And the appointed duty of the children of Merari included the boards of the tabernacle, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, its utensils, all the workings related to them, and the pillars of the court all around with their sockets, with their pegs, and their cords. Daniel, would you go ahead and click the next one? And so here we have Merari. And Zuil means rock of God or strength of God. And these guys carried the hardware. These were the hardware guys. I mean, when you go to a hardware store and you see man stuff. I mean, bolts and hammers and wrenches and cool things. And these guys were the strength or the rock of God. There were 6,200 of these guys from 1 month old and up. Now, he was just getting the numbers of all the males. He wanted to know the numbers of the males. 38, moreover, those who were to camp before the tabernacle on the east, before the tabernacle of meeting, were Moses, Aaron, and his son, keeping charge of the sanctuary to meet the needs of the children of Israel. But the outsider who came near was to be put to death. All the number of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron numbered at the commandment of the Lord by their families, all the males from a month old and above were 22,000. Now that number is important. Daniel, go ahead and click to the next one. And there we have everyone of Levi camping. 22,000. In this group, there's 22,000 males. Verse 40. Then the Lord said to Moses, number all the firstborn males of the children of Israel. From a month old and above, take the number of their names. Now, he didn't want all the males, just the firstborn males. All the males were for Levi, but only the firstborn males for Israel. This is important. And you shall take from the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of the firstborn among the children of Israel and the livestock of the Levites, instead of the firstborn of the livestock of the children of Israel. So Moses numbered all the firstborn among the children of Israel as the Lord commanded. And all the firstborn males, according to the number of names, from a month old and above, of those who were numbered of them, were 22,273. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the livestock of the Levites instead of the livestock of their livestock. The Levites shall be mine, I am the Lord. And for the redemption of the 273 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, who are more than the number of the Levites, you shall take 5 shekels for each one individually. You shall take them in the currency of the shekel of the sanctuary, the shekel of 20 gerahs. And you shall give the money with which the excess number of them is redeemed to Aaron and his sons. So Moses took the redemption money from those who were over and above those who were redeemed by the Levites. From the firstborn of the children of Israel, he took the money, 1,365 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. And Moses gave their redemption money to Aaron and his sons, according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And you're thinking, and this pertains to what exactly? Dan, would you hit the next one, please? Now, for the Lord to take the Levites as the firstborn and say, I want Levi to be the firstborn. Now remember, the firstborn in the time of Moses' time, they were given the double honor. The firstborn was everything. And so for that to happen, he wanted to number every Levite male because they represent the firstborn, and he wanted to number all the firstborn of Israel. So the census was taken and there were 22,000 Levites. However, there was 22,273 of the firstborn of Israel, which gave a difference of 273 males. Each person over the 22,000 was to be redeemed with 5 shekels. Now, Dan, click the next one. I kind of drew it out in a picture so it'd be easier to see. You can see on one side, there's less Levites than there is Israel. And so for every Israel firstborn, a Levite redeemed him. The next one, a Levite redeemed him because the Levites are now being the firstborn. So as Israel's firstborn would come up, this Levite would take his place. As this Levite Israelite came up, this Levite took his place. As this Israelite came up, this one Levite took its place. Well, by the time they're all done with the Levites, there was still 273 that needed to be redeemed. And so God said, redeem each one of the extras with 5 shekels of silver. Now, why he did that was that every firstborn would be redeemed. Christ, when he was born, he was redeemed. We read that in Luke. There was a sin offering of a pair of turtle doves, but there was also, he was redeemed because he was the firstborn that opened the womb. He had to be redeemed. That gives us just a simple picture of who Levi is, why Levi was. And now as we look at Numbers 4, we're going to take a look at those duties again. And you're going to start to see how that relates to you with what the Lord's called you to do. You're going to see how that's going to realign your life by the placement of where each tribe lives. That's going to show you why you hang out with the people you do. You know, I go to different fellowships and people say, man, this church, they're so cliquish. Everyone, this group hangs out over here, and this group hangs out over here. Well, they don't say about our church. We got a great church. But I've heard people say, boy, have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard someone say that? Or have you ever said that yourself? Boy, that place is cliquish. It's kind of supposed to be that way. The Gershonites hang out together. The Kohathites hang out together. The Merarianites hang out together. Why? Because they work together. So, let's look at chapter 4. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, take a census of the sons of Kohath from among the children of Levi by their families, by their fathers' houses, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, all who enter the service to do the work in the tabernacle of meeting. Now, what we're going to find out is now he says, I want you to do another census. But this one, I only want those of 30 years old and 50 years old. That is the age that someone can serve in the temple or the tabernacle. 30 through 50. That's where we get 50 years old, you can retire. Someone moved it up to 65, 66, wherever it is now. But 50, you're supposed to be able to retire. Well, thumb with me just briefly. Numbers chapter 8 says this in verse 24. This is what pertains to the Levites. From 25 years old and above, one may enter to perform the service and the work of the tabernacle of meeting. And at the age of 50, they must cease performing this work and shall work no more. They may minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of meeting to attend to needs, but they themselves should do no work. Thus, you shall do to the Levites regarding their duties. Well, Numbers 8 says 25 through 50. Numbers 4 says 30 through 50. That gives 5 years for something. Can anybody guess what that is? It's missing in our culture. Who said it? Mentoring. Training. Discipleship. Guys, that stuff is so important. And then those who are 50 and above, they're not to work, but they're to minister. How do they minister? They're the mentors. They've been doing it for 20 years. They know the best way to carry this, the best way to fold this, the best way. And we need to be those who stop and mentor. I want to encourage you guys maybe to write yourself a list on the five guys or the five young ladies that you're discipling. Okay, I'd like you to write a list of the three guys or the three ladies that you are currently discipling. I challenge you to write a list of maybe the one person who you are discipling. You should be discipling. You should be mentoring. And the thing is this. They were discipling someone also who's outside their family. So guys, you should be discipling your son, but you should be discipling someone who is not your son. You should be discipling your daughter. You should be mentoring her, but there should be another woman in your life that you are, well, Titus calls them the older women teach the younger women how to love their husbands. Apparently, ladies need to learn how to love us guys. So older women, please teach those younger women's. Mentor, disciple. We have a generation of single families, single parent families, and no one's mentoring. Either it's a single dad working all day long trying to make ends meet, and no one's watching the kids. No one's teaching them the real deal of life, bringing them before the Lord. Or we've got single moms trying to play the role of a dad and trying to work, and it doesn't work. We need to have eyes that see that and come alongside. We need to have hands and feet that mentor. Gang, this is what we're called to do. Mentoring. Verse 4. Numbers 4:4. This is the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of meeting relating to the most holy things. When the camp prepares to journey, Aaron and his sons shall come, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the testimony with it. Dan, would you do me a favor? Would you please click on the next one? It should have the different colors. Now here we're going to look at what Kohath's duty is. You can look at it and I'll keep reading. Or you can read along and look at it later. First, they take the veil. Now, the veil that surrounded the ark was woven of blue, violet or purple, and red. Or actually, they call it a different color. It's scarlet. Scarlet. It's blue, purple, and scarlet. And so they wrap the ark with this. And then it says in verse 6, then they shall put on it a cover of badger skin and spread over that a cloth entirely of blue. Then they shall insert its poles. On the table of showbread, they shall spread a blue cloth and put on it the dishes, the pans, the bowls, the pitchers for pouring, and the showbread on it. They shall spread over them a scarlet cloth and cover the same with a covering of badger skin, and they shall insert its poles. And they shall take a blue cloth and cover the lampstand of the light with its lamps, wicks, trimmers, its trays, the oil vessels which they serve. Then they shall put it with all the utensils in a covering of badger skins and put it on a carrying beam. Over the golden altar they shall spread a blue cloth and cover it with a covering of badger skins, and they shall insert its poles. Then they shall take all the utensils of service which they minister in the sanctuary, put them in a blue cloth, cover them with a covering of badger skins, and put them on a carrying beam. Also, they shall take away the ashes from the altar, this is the brass altar, and spread a purple cloth over it. They shall put on it all its implements which they minister there, the fire pans, forks, shovels, basins, all its utensils, and they shall spread on it a covering of badger skins and insert its poles. And when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them. But they shall not touch the holy things, lest they die. These are the things in the tabernacle of meeting, which the sons of Kohath are to carry. The appointed duty of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, is the oil for light, the sweet incense, the daily grain offering, the anointing oil, the oversight of the tabernacle, of all that is in it, with the sanctuary and its furnishings. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, do not cut off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites, but do this in regard to them, that they may live and not die when they approach, and the most holy things. Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint each to them to his service and his task, but they shall not go in to watch while the holy things are being covered, lest they die. Now, we see that the different implements, the furniture and furnishings, are all covered. They all have a covering. Some have multiple coverings. Only the ark was covered with blue, all at the end. Only the ark. Everything else, the last wrapping was of badger skins. And as I look at it, I see the brass altar. If you just close your mind or look in your mind's eye, you see the tabernacle, you walk in, there's the altar, and there's the purple cloth that speaks of royalty that would be sacrificed. Then the utensils, the altar, the lampstand, and then now we come to the table of showbread. That's the table of communion. And it's a communion where we have the bread and the wine speaks of blood. And so the royalty would shed his blood that we would have fellowship or communion with God. And then finally the ark. It has the veil that is blue, purple, and scarlet, covered with badger skin. And then its final covering is blue, and it speaks of heaven. And it's just interesting. The Kohathites were to carry these things. They weren't supposed to put them in a cart. They weren't supposed to put them on their back. They're to carry them with poles and with beams. They weren't supposed to touch them. And the lesson for you and for me of the Kohathites is this. Do you remember the name of the guy of the Kohathite? His name was Eleazar. His name meant God of treasures. See, these things were the treasures of God, and God looks at each one of you as his treasure. And he tells people, pastors, elders, don't touch my people. That's my job to discipline them. Don't touch them. You know, you may have heard the phrase of don't beat the sheep. And God says, don't touch them. Handle them gently. They're mine. And we need to remember that. There are times when things happen, we want to jump in there and go, And God says, oh, be very careful. These are mine. Sometimes it's easy to take offense at people, isn't it? I've heard people say, oh, the ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. That's the point. The church is a hospital, and everyone here is sick. Christ said that healthy have no need for a physician. So we can't take offense at one another, but we need to remember, we got to be careful how we handle each other. Take a look around you. This is the treasury of the Lord right here. From the kids to the parents, the singles, we are treasures. And God says, handle each other gently, carefully. Now we move on to the next set of duties here. And it's the Gershon. Daniel, go ahead and click to the service of Gershon. And they were to carry the curtains and the coverings. Verse 21. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take a census of the sons of Gershon by their father's house, by their families, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old. You shall number them, all who entered to perform the service, to do work in the tabernacle of meeting. This is the service of the families of the Gershonites, in serving and carrying. They shall carry the curtains of the tabernacle, and the tabernacle of meeting with its covering, the covering of bavinger skins that is on it, the screen for the door of the tabernacle of meeting, the screen for the door of the gate of the court, the hangings of the court which are around the tabernacle and altar, and their cords, all the furnishings for all the service, and all that is made for these things, so they serve. Aaron and his sons shall assign all the service to the sons of the Gershonites, and their tasks, and all their service. And you shall appoint to them as all their tasks, as their duty. This is the service of the family of the Gershonites in the tabernacle of meeting. And their duty shall be done under the authority of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. Now, there's a lot of stuff to carry. If you remember, the tabernacle was a large court, and it had all these curtains, white curtains, white curtains, white curtains, and it kept the outsiders out, and it provided shelter for people to worship within. You had the coverings that went over the top. They had several different colored curtains that went over the top of the holy place and the Holy of Holies. All of the cords and all of that, they were to cover that. And, you know, the covering speaks of headship. It covers, and it speaks of protection and security. And the job of the Gershonites was to carry headship and to carry security. Now, guys, I want to relate this to you. Some of you gals might relate here. Headship, I think of Boaz and Ruth. In the book of Ruth, chapter 3, Ruth was going to Boaz at night because her mother-in-law had said, I'm going to find a husband for you. This Boaz is a good guy. And do you remember what she told her to do? She was to lay down at his feet when he was asleep. And she said, he'll tell you what to do next. Just go do that. So after Boaz was out harvesting, he had something to eat. He fell asleep. And she came in and she just laid down at his feet. Well, in the middle of the night, he woke up and there was a woman. And he says, what are you doing here? And she says, it's your maidservant. Please cover her under the shadow of your wing, for you are a close relative. She was saying, because you have authority, because you're a close relative, cover me with your authority. Take me in. Guys, we need to provide a covering of headship over our families and of our church. Whether it's the youth group and they run to you and with a question, guys, you older men, you are to be a covering. I don't want to hear, hey, that's not my job. It is your job. You're a man. You're an older man. When I was a child, my mom said, Dave, you need to live a life as an elder. So I started reading 1 Timothy. And finally I said, you know what? What if I'm not an elder? She goes, Dave, you will always be somebody's elder. You will always be older than somebody else. So live a life as an elder. Look at the qualifications. Guys, you may not be in the position of an elder, but you are somebody's elder. provide headship. They may come for you for advice or wisdom. They may come for you to ask about salvation. Boy, have that nailed down. Have your family lined up. Covering also speaks of protection. I think of the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra, you remember when they were in Babylon? Ezra was sent out to rebuild the temple. And they rebuilt it, but they couldn't worship. Word got back to Nehemiah that the people were in distress because the enemies were coming in and causing the worship to cease. And Nehemiah grieved in his heart. And the Lord gave him a privilege to go and to rebuild the what? The wall. The protection. Replace the gates. You cannot worship if you don't have protection. You can't. Guys, is your house fortified? Do we have a line of protection? You may have heard the phrase, not on my watch. That's not going to happen on my watch. Why? Because we set up a perimeter. And you see, the curtain was to provide a place of protection for people to come and to worship. The wall of Jerusalem was to serve as protection so people could live and worship God. And guys and gals, part of our job is to provide protection for our children, for those who are sick. We were just praying for Alex and how Alex needed prayer. He might need more than that. It's up to us to make sure that he's all right. It's up to us to check out Damien, make sure he's okay. Well, they don't go to our fellowship. Who cares? They fly the banner of Christian. They're our brother. They're our sisters. A body needs those who represent headship and protection. As the Lord cracks my back and aligns me, he says, Dave, there needs to be a covering in your life. There needs to be a covering in your family. There needs to be a covering in your church. What role have I called you to do? And I have to ask myself, what role is it? Regarding what role it is, I need to make sure that I handle people very carefully because they're the Lord's treasure, not mine. Finally, the last tribe, Merari, they are the hardware guys. I don't know why I laugh, but they're the hardware gang. They carry all the boards, the pillars, the bars, the pegs. They're the framework kind of guys. Hey, there are certain people and families who just kind of hold things together, aren't there? We call them patriarchs. There are certain men in our families and lives who hold it together. Listen to what the Lord says here about Merari in verse 29. As for the sons of Merari, you shall number them by their families and by their house, by their father's house, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, you shall number them, everyone who enters the service to do work of the tabernacle of meeting. And this is what they must carry as their service for their tabernacle of meeting, the boards of the tabernacle, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, and the pillars around the court with their sockets, pegs, and cords, with all their furnishings and all their service, you shall assign to each man by name the items he must carry. By name, guys, you've been called. By name. Romans 8 says, by his foreknowledge, he predestined you. And those whom he predestined, he justified. And those whom he justified, he called. Ian, he called you by name. Jan, by name the Lord called you to his service. By name we're called. What's my calling? What's my calling? Well, I can tell you two things. Before we even look any further, 25 through 50, guys. Disciple and discipled. We need to be, that needs to be an ongoing thing. But for Merari, they were to carry the hardware. Is there a what? Next slide, Dan. Merari slide. There you go. Barnabas was one of those guys who is a hold it together kind of guy. In the book of Acts, it said that Antioch was growing. And so who did they send out there to keep that church going? Barnabas. Barnabas went there and he encouraged the men by saying, with purpose of heart, serve the Lord. And then Barnabas recognized there was a need. There was a need for a covering. So who did he get? He left and found Paul. And brought Paul in. And Paul served as the head there for over a year before they went back to Jerusalem and before they went out until their missionary journeys. Guys, you may not be the head. You might be the covering. You might be the hardware guy. The body needs those who are able to stabilize a congregation, to stabilize a family, not with just mere income or with testosterone, but with encouragement. With encouragement. Barnabas was a good man. He encouraged, he held things together. And Merari's service was to carry the framework, the stability, the hardware. There are some of us that as the Lord snaps and cracks and realigns us, he tells us what's important, him. He's important. Our family serves alongside with us. And then we ask, what is it that you'd have us do, Lord? What would you have me do? Dave, you're talking a lot about works, man. It's of grace, not works. It's all about grace. It is. Works has nothing to do with your salvation. But it says, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some to be teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Guys, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you guys to allow the Lord to do that chiropractic work in your life and say, Lord, I need an adjustment. I need an attitude adjustment on what it is you want me to do. Maybe you know what it is. Praise the Lord. Hone in that skill. Hone in that gift that he's given you. Romans 12 talks about the giftings that he gives his disciples to operate in that ministry. 1 Corinthians 12 also talks about different gifts that the Lord gives to do the work of the ministry. Gang, today is Pentecost Sunday. Let the Holy Spirit flood your life to touch the world. Let the Holy Spirit fill you up. I want to tell you something before we close. The priest was to wear linen when he ministered. Yeah, it sounds like a lot of work. But when the priest, the son of Aaron, was to work, he was to wear linen because linen breathes. There's no sweat to be on a priest as he ministers. We shouldn't be sweating it, if you catch my drift. We should operate in the breeze, the wind of the Spirit. When I find myself, I find wedding, it's not working the way I want it to. I'm doing it in the flesh. But when I merely operate in the breeze of the Spirit, the hardware is light. The covering comes natural. And handling God's people is a privilege, a pleasure. And I wouldn't want to do anything else but to take care of God's people. God has called each one of you, son, his daughter, and he says, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we would be called sons of God. God's called us. Now, as we read Numbers, I read Numbers 3 and 4 over and over, and it seemed to be long. That's why I made some pictures to keep us occupied, help explain things. But the point I want to make is God has called us. You aren't a wave being tossed to and fro in the ocean. God made you with design and with purpose. He says, I'm proud of you. I love you. And I have destiny for you. I'm proud of you. I'm going to see you through the end. Even when you can't see at the end of your nose, God's there. When the chasm seems too far, too deep, the Lord's there. Can I encourage you guys? Three things. Reevaluate your priority. You might need an adjustment. Spend some time discipling your family, because ministry is a family affair. Spend some time discipling someone outside your family. I challenge you guys to pick one person outside of your immediate family. It doesn't mean you're going to call them and say, you're my new disciple. Congratulations, you made the A team. You're an A apostle, not a B apostle. Just merely be there. Just merely be the one who starts giving them advice. Just merely show up and start teaching. I was reading in Jeremiah, and it says, if you have run with the footmen and have grown weary, what will you do when you run with the horsemen? If you're tired now, gang, in this day of grace, what will you do when the heat gets turned on? If you find yourself tired, it could be because you're walking with a limp and your body's working harder than it should. Get readjusted. If you find yourself tired and it's a got to and not a get to, maybe you need to go see the doctor. If you're running and you can't keep up with them, go talk to Dr. Scholl. Or is that Dr. Jesus? This world's getting crazier by the minute. But the joy of the Lord should be your strength. It should be a joy. Dave, you've piled on burdens. Nah. I placed in front of you the course of the race. You see, the course of the race is just as important as the finish line. Finish well. Run the race well. Follow the rules. Don't cut the corners. Allow patience to have its perfect work in you. God's not finished with you. God desires to use you. Submit to Him. God desires to touch a world. He chose us. Chose me. Chose you. Three things. Check out your priority. Disciple your family. Find someone outside to mentor. Father, I want to thank you for the word. Was not always easy. Spent a lot of time reading big words and big names today, Lord. But the message that hits my heart is how you organize us according to family. We're a family. Would you help us to love each other as a family? You organize us and you set before us the race. And in that race, I get to take people with me. and train them to run. In that race, I get to be a covering for some. For others, I get to encourage and to stabilize their life, or at least bring a sense of peace and calm. Remembering to handle your treasure very carefully, very gently. My Lord, I pray that as we look at this week, that we're challenged in a good way, in a way that causes me to be a better man, that causes each one of us to be a better person, not by my works, but because people can see Christ for real, and I, in turn, am able to minister Christ for real. Lord, I pray for a double portion of your Spirit, that your Spirit, as like on Pentecost, would help us to operate in the giftings, to operate in the ministries, to operate in the families, and even the place that we live. That we would be an anointing to this world, a blessing, a breath of fresh air, not stagnant air. So as we raise up holy hands to you, we merely say, Hosanna, save now. Maranatha, come quickly. Amen and amen.